We're busy. We got deck. Oh, this thing is screaming loud. Lower this thing down. Check. Testing 1, 2. There you go. That's good. Got it. All right, always technical difficulty. Okay, hopefully our screen will stay up. The filters kind of run out of time. But welcome to our Torah portion, Torah Bible study, Torah teaching, understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes, understanding the likes and dislikes of Yehovah. We're looking at the priests, and as you're studying and you're learning, for 7 days the priest had to have himself ready and prepared, everything in order. I've talked about before the wood in order, everything in place, for the offering, the sacrifice. And then we have the seventh day would be the Shabbat. Everybody gathers together, and then on the eighth day, how many know we got to perform and do everything we've learned? And it's in Philippians Chapter 4, verse 9, and what you have learned and you received, heard, and saw in me, practice these, and the Elohim of Shalom will be with you. Remember last week we talked about the word Tzav? Tzav was command. And there's two letters in there that was very important. You okay? You got it? Two letters that were very important in the word Tzav. Not only were we commanded to do something, the priest commanded to do something, but Tzadi was the first letter, and that's a righteous man. And then you have Vav, which is a tent peg, or connected. So you have a righteous man connected. He's commanded, and he's a righteous man connected to Yehovah. And now here we are, we're talking about the eighth day, Shemini. Hebrew for eighth, and it's in Leviticus 9, 1 through 11, 47, and it's in the half Torah, Ezekiel 36. 16 through 38, 2 Samuel, chapter 6, 1 through 19. And so on the eighth day, it's like the first day. Everything we've practiced, everything we've learned, we get there and we try and want to perfect and to get into image and likeness of Yehovah, just like Yeshua did. How many know that Adam was in the image and likeness of Yehovah before he sinned? And so to get that back, we had even Moshe. Moshe showed himself approved by getting himself right going before Yehovah. So we talk about the sacrifices that had to happen. The lamb, I was talking about this today to someone about explaining in the Old Testament, in the Torah, why they had to sacrifice the lamb, how they had to do the lamb, how they had to take that sacrifice, and it had to be the atoning offering for the sin that was upon us. For when it go before Yehovah, before his presence and his spirit, they would be burned up if they didn't have it all off of them. They had to take it off of them and put it on the sacrifice. They had to be spotless. If not, look what happened to Nadab and Abihu. They had it on them, and they got burned up. And it's an exact representation of our 8th day, 7 days. You know, we're coming here on Wednesday, we're coming here on Friday night and Saturday, and so I'm sitting here studying this all week long, and it keeps you locked in, and it keeps you reflecting on the things that you're seeing in your life that you're doing wrong, or your mistakes, or your shortcomings. And so you're working on those each day, 6 days. On the 7th day, you have Shabbat. You come here, and everybody's coming together in a gathering, and then you have those things that you've been working on, and you want to try your very best on the 8th day, the first day of the week, to try and be as perfect as you can. Try and put it on and get it on, and you'll get better, and you're getting better and better. I'm like, they did that for 7 days. I'm like, man, we're not there yet neither. We should be doing this every day, not just Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. We should be doing this 7 days to keep us locked in, day and night, day and night, day and night. Then you have Shabbat, and then you have your 8th day. And that's what he's going to get us to when we get into the millennial. He's going to get us there all the way to that 8th day. But we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. And like Pastor said, we're way behind. Way behind. And so Pastor Josh comes here, and he just kind of reinforces it and says, hey, we got to step on the pedal and get forward moving. And so on Shabbat, I went home, and what I would normally read a little, I went in it a lot till I fall asleep, wake back up, jump in it again, and get most of it knocked out. So then when the 8th day comes, I'm catching up. But then he comes and says, I'm already ready for the whole Torah portion for the next week. I'm like, man, I'm still working on this one. So a little pace at a time. Each person, do it at your own pace. But if you're just doing it on Wednesday here, Friday here, and Shabbat, you're missing the whole thing. We're going to keep falling behind. We got to keep up, catch up. What happened whenever those who fell back when you're on the move? What happened to the weak ones way in the back? They got taken out by the enemy. So I talked about two words last week, not only Tzav and command, but also Levav. Levav was the heart and the mind. They work together. What's in the mind goes into the heart, and it's either going to be a sin, a transgression of the Torah, which brings grief and a hard heart, or we're going to obey the Torah, and the Torah will always bring you shalom. You'll always have shalom when you're doing what he says. And the first thing your mind wants to do is revert to the sinful nature. It wants to revert to doing what it wants and what it thinks is better for me, what I need, what I want. And it brings grief, hurt, and pain, and it hurts other people. And if we do it wrong and not following his commands, like he says, we can end up killing other people with words. Words can kill people. And so with Nadab and Abihu, I was thinking about, I was at home, and I'm not going to pull up any names or anything, but, you know, we got to correct our children. You know, our children push and push and push till it gets to that point where you have to make the correction. Because if you don't, it's going to get worse and worse. And so you give the warning, just like the Father does us. Give the warning, get harsh and stern. If you don't, this is what's going to happen, and it keeps happening. It's time, and you got to do the discipline, and you got to do the strike, whatever you got to do, the discipline, and it hurts, but it stops it. And in the same way, as adults, when we get out of line as well, they're a great example for us to learn. They learn real quick after repeatedly trying till it's time for a belt or a switch. Something like that gets their attention. We learn this Torah portion. It's our way. Or it's Jehovah's way. And we all should know by now who wins. But the cause and effect in our lives will ultimately be the result of our good or bad choices we make knowing better. You know better. So after we've been in this long, and we've been told over and over and over and over, eventually there's going to be a cause and effect. And he's going to say, you know better. You know better. It should be long enough by now, you know better. I'm We'll go to slide 21, 22, and 23. Anyone who had an infectious disease or a bodily discharge was unclean for 7 days. Do you see that? 7 days. Was unclean for 7 days. What are we working on for 7 days that's unclean in our lives? It's a sin. We've got to work on those things. We've got to correct them. And we'll be separated from the camp and only re-enter on the 8th day. After their status changed through mikvah cleansing, from the time of the waving of the sheaf of the first during Matzah to Shavuot. Pentecost was 50 days, which is a period of 7 weeks and 1 day. In the 8th week, the Spirit was poured out upon the emissaries who were sitting in the house where they were gathered for Shavuot. Acts 2, 1 through 4. The prophetic shadow picture of the 8th day is a picture of eternity rather than a return to the 1st day, as we usually do after the Sabbath. And thus it illustrates the new heaven and the new earth, when all that is accomplished during the 7,000 years of building the kingdom will be finished, for even during the kingdom there will still be major adjustments to make and will finally be the kingdom. So we've got a lot of adjustments to keep making on right now, if there's still going to be adjustments being made then. How can we possibly say we saved and we don't have to do anything? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. The coming of the Spirit. And when the day of the festival of Shavuot had come, they were all with one mind in one place. Footnote, weeks. Acts 2:2. And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the set-apart Spirit, and began to speak with the tongues as the Spirit gave them to speak. Trying to find one of my slides here. I didn't label it. The Shemini Atzeret is a celebration of new beginnings. Here it is. It's in 20. I'm sorry. It's in 20. The Shemini Atzeret is a celebration of new beginnings. As we see from Scripture, the 8th day is always symbolic of a renewal or new beginning or a completion in readiness for new things. The priests did not start their service to Yehovah until the 8th day, after a period of 7 days of consecration. And I want to talk about the word consecration. 7 days of consecration. We must deal with the removal of sin by reflecting on the Torah 7 days like an infectious disease in order to return to Yehovah on the 8th day. And again, Philippians 4:9, we just talked about that. And what you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these, and the Elohim of peace shall be with you. Now, in the Strong's 6942, there's a word, kadash. It's pronounced kadash. To be causatively, make, pronounce, or observe as clean, appoint, bid, consecrate, dedicate, defile, keep, prepare, proclaim, purify, and sanctify. 7 days of meditation, Shema and Shemar, looking intently into the Torah and the prophets all week. You gather on Shabbat, and on Shemini, the 8th day, the new beginning, is the 1st day of the week, is putting the Torah into action in our lives, trying hard not to make an error. That's the goal, trying hard not to make the error. And if we do, take note of it and fix it and keep working hard to fix it, to find ourselves becoming in the image of Yehovah and Yeshua. And again, you'll have either shalom in your heart or you have grief and hardness. And also keeping in mind that those choices that we make can affect others. We're going to move to the half Torah. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 through 7, 17. Chapter 6, 1 through 19 says, Now David, again, gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David rose up and went with all the people who were with him from Yehuda to bring up from there the Ark of Elohim, that is called by the name Yehovah of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim, and they placed the Ark of Elohim on a new wagon and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were leading the new wagon. And they brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, with the Ark of Elohim. And Ahio was walking before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel were dancing before Yehovah, with all instruments of fir wood, with lyres and harps, tambourines, and with sistrums, and with cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out towards the Ark of Elohim and took hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. And the wrath of Elohim burned against Uzzah, and Elohim struck him there for the fault. And he died there by the Ark of Elohim. And David was displeased because Yehovah had broken out against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah. Perez, Strong's H, 6556 is a breach, gap, bursting forth, or broken wall. Uzzah is the Hebrew name, Uzzah, so it was called the breach of Uzzah until this day. And David was afraid of Yehovah on that day and said, How shall the ark of Yehovah come to me? And David would not move the ark of Yehovah with him into the city of David, but David turned it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the Ark of Yehovah remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 new moons. And Yehovah blessed Obed-Edom and all of his house. And it was reported to the sovereign David, saying, Yehovah has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he has because of the Ark of Elohim. Now David had took some time to make some critical adjustments because of his decisions. A life was lost. When you look at this, a life was lost. When Uzzah died, it wasn't practice and rehearsal time. It was like on the 8th day, and something didn't line up with the plumb line that day. Adjustments had to be made. So we had to start over again. We ain't moving. We're going to refix things and readjust it. Let's go back. So that's what we should do in our lives. When we make a mistake, we need to readjust. We need to stop what we're doing. We need to repent. And we need to look at it and keep working on it and adjust it, whatever it may be. David then went and brought up the Ark of Elohim from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And it came to be, when those bearing the Ark of Yehovah had gone 6 steps, that he slaughtered bulls and fatted sheep. And David danced before Yehovah with all his might. And David was wearing a linen shoulder garment. There's a lot of stuff to talk about in here, but we don't have the time. But that's for everybody to do at home. You know, I kind of pressured myself the last couple of days. I'm like, man, I'll put this in there. Oh, we're getting to this part. We're getting to that part. Oh, and then we're getting to the clean and unclean foods. I'm like, that's important too. I called Brother Scott. I said, Brother Scott, they're all important. He said, well, you're going to get them all in there, brother. And I'm like, man, you know what? This isn't for me to get them all in there. This is for all of the people to get it all in there. All week long, we all should be at home getting this. This isn't for the pastors or the teachers to get up here and try and get it all in one setting, which I'm really going to try and get a lot as I can, you know, in hopes there's some that aren't, that you can get it tonight. But we need to do it at home. We need to work on all of our stuff with fear and trembling at home. They came into the city of Dawid. Back up. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Yehovah with shouting with the voice of a shofar. And it came to be when the ark of Yehovah came into the city of Dawid that Michal, daughter of Shaul, looked through a window and saw sovereign Dawid leaping and dancing before Yehovah. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of Yehovah in and set it in its place in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And David brought ascending offerings before Yehovah and peace offerings. And when David had finished bringing ascending offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yehovah of hosts. And he apportioned to all the peoples, to all the crowd of Israel, from man even to women, to each one of a loaf of bread and a measure and a cake of raisins, and all the people left, each one to his house. But my whole point that I can only get into tonight is that it is important to make sure we check. We'll make the mistake, make the adjustments. Let's fix it. Now, I know Pastor Josh had finished somewhere in 76, but we're going to skip a couple and go to 86. So whenever we put these up online, all the slides are there. So I'll skip a couple. Maybe if they were online already, you can go look at them, or now you can look at them after tonight, if they're up tonight. I'm not sure if they're up or not. Anyways, 86. Now before I read this, I want to read in Leviticus chapter 9, 7 through 8. It's probably in this Torah portion, somewhere down in there. I think it is. It is, but I want to go ahead and just read it before I get into the next slides here. Leviticus 9, 7 through 8. And Moshe said to Aharon, go to the slaughter place and prepare your sin offering and your ascending offering. And make atonement for yourself and for the people. And make the offering of the people and make atonement for them as Yehovah has commanded. So Aharon came near to the slaughter place and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Must be clean and pure. Like our master, a living Torah in the likeness and the image of his father, Yehovah. Symbolism in a sacrifice that puts on the reflection of Yehovah. If there was any spots or blemish of sin, the presence of fire would come and consume the priest as well as the sacrifice. That's what happened to Abinadab and Abihu. When they came with strange fire, it consumed them. Because of Yeshua, instead of death right away, we get a chance to make adjustments when the heart is hardened and full of grief for our transgressions. We can have shalom when we do the right thing. In Leviticus 9, 21 through 24, but the breast and the right thigh Aharon waved as a wave offering before Yehovah, as Moshe had commanded. Aharon then lifted up his hand towards the people and blessed them, and came down from making the sin offering and the ascending offering and the peace offerings. And Moshe and Aharon went into the tent of appointment and came out and blessed the people. And the steam of Yehovah appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before Yehovah and consumed the ascending offering and the fat in the slaughtering place. And all the people saw, cried aloud, and fell on their faces. So Aaron did as Moshe commanded and blessed the people. When we do what is right, it blesses Yehovah and it blesses other people. You see that? It blesses other people when we do the right thing. I'm going to go to slide 85. I went one too far. Aaron did all that Moshe had commanded, and when he was done, he lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. This blessing would possibly have been the blessing which is seen in Bamidbar Numbers 6:22-27. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is how you bless the children of Yisrael. Say to them, Yehovah bless you and guard you. Yehovah make his face shine upon you and show favor to you. Yehovah lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Thus they shall put my name on the children of Yisrael, and I myself shall bless them." Amen. The Hebrew word that is translated blessed here in Leviticus 9:21 comes from the word barak, Strong's H1288, which carries the meaning bend the knees or kneel down and to abundantly bless. As we look a little deeper into the blessing of the children of Israel as instructed above, we learn a great deal from the Hebrew words that are used, and more specifically, the words used for bless and guard. We have just seen what bless means, and barakah is a blessing, but more literally, the bringing of a gift to another on a bended knee. When we bless Elohim or others, we're in essence bringing a gift on bended knee. A true king is one who serves his people, one who humble himself and come to his people on a bended knee. A true king coming on a bended knee. Obedience to the Father as high priest and king on bended knee to Jehovah and the people. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men, for sovereigns and all those who are in authority, in order that we lead a calm and peaceable life in all reverence and seriousness. For this is good, acceptable before Elohim our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Messiah Yeshua, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be witnessed in its own seasons, for which I was appointed a proclaimer and an emissary. I am speaking the truth in Messiah and not lying, a teacher of the nations in belief and truth. And so that's what Yeshua did. He came, king, on bended knee and sacrificed himself for us, for his people. A true king is one who serves his people, one who will humble himself and come to his people on bended knee. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, amen, who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of Elohim, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tried in all respects as we are, apart from sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of favor in order to receive compassion and find favor for timely help. So through him, we can get through every one of them. He did it, so can we. And that talks about our high priest right there. There's our high priest. Our priest and our king. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 23 through 26. I love all of 1 Corinthians 15. The whole thing is incredible. 23 through 26. And each in his own order, Messiah the first fruits. Then those who are of Messiah at his coming. Then the end, when he delivers up the reign to Elohim the Father, when he has brought to naught all rule and all authority and power, for he has to reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be brought to naught is death. And that's what we're working on. That's what we're working on. The power of sin is through the Torah. And I was telling somebody today, you know, I had to explain to them in a little bit of detail what it is that we have on us that we have to get rid of. Here's the Torah, and it stands. And it's coming to destroy all sin and everything to do with death. And so we have a mediator between us and Yehovah. And he stands before the Father. And so we keep working on those things. We have positive, but we'll have negative if we don't, because it keeps coming against us and it keeps tearing us down. When Yeshua came on the set, people were attracted to him to get healing because he was the living, breathing, walking Torah, the pure, selfless love of Yehovah. He was the pure, clean, perfect Torah. And so that's why they came to him. When we get like that, when we start living the perfect, pure, clean Torah, we can help other people. But until then, if we can't help ourselves, how can we help somebody else? In verses 56 through 58, and the sting of death is the sin, and the power of the sin is the Torah. But thanks to Elohim, who gives us the overcoming through our Master Yeshua Messiah, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable. Can you be immovable? Can a man actually be immovable? Well, I know a man named Yeshua Messiah, he was immovable, even to the point of death, getting his beard plucked out, getting thorns on his head, being mocked and a purple robe thrown on him, being a mockery. He made it. He stood through the test. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Master, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Master. The Hebrew word for guard is shemar. We shemar, we hear, and we do. We're learning, we're reading, we're hearing, and we're doing. It's two words in one, two English words in one, hearing and doing, shemar. Shema. And then we get to shemar is to guard it and to keep it. Shema is to hear and to do. But shemar is to guard. Strong's H8-104, which literally means to guard, to keep watch over, and preserve. Another Hebrew word, so when you get to the eighth day, first day, you're doing everything to shemar that you can. You want to guard everything that you've heard, and you learned, and you're working on it. If something comes at you against you that really irritated you before, you keep working on it. Keep guarding. Keep guarding the command. Guarding the command. Guarding the commands. Guard the Torah. Guard the Torah. And you start seeing that shalom, that peace in your heart. It'll start breaking all the hardness away. Another Hebrew word that is closely related to the root word shemar is the word shemir, H8068, which means thorn. When the shepherd was out in the wilderness with his flock, he would construct a corral of thorn bushes to protect the sheep from predators, which was a guarding over the sheep. With this more Hebraic concept of Hebrew words, we can now read the beginning of what has been referred to as the Aaronic blessing, as Yehovah will kneel before you presenting gifts and will guard you with a hedge of protection. See what happens when you get underneath him and you do that? Not only do you have that peace, that shalom in your heart, you get shielded and you get protected. And you're confident when you're on the water. You're confident when you're around people that's in hysteria and fear and panic. But if you know in your mind and your heart, you're already breaking the command and something comes about, I'm telling you, I've been there. I've done it a million times. It grips you. You don't know what to say or do because you're on your own, buddy. You by yourself. And that's what the Father does. He lets you go and figure it out on your own. He says, hey, you want to be 400 miles back offshore in the middle of the ocean with no boat, no rescue, no life jacket? Have at it. But I came to rescue you, and I come to give you this. And this is what my commands say. If you start with Shabbat, it's the foundation, and you learn to guard it, then you can move to the next part. It's a foundation. It's a start. You can't start anywhere else. He said, this is my Shabbat. This is to not be broken. And so you guard it. You do it the first time. You do it the second time. You do it the third time. You do it the fourth time. And all of a sudden, you're confident in your shield because you know you're obeying his command. And then you get to the next one and work on another one. And they start coming. Got to the food laws. I got to where I used to. Look, crawfish was my favorite. I love crawfish. You couldn't break me off of it. And I could eat it faster. I can boast about that. I could eat it faster than anybody. I had so many people that came down when we was having, cleaning up after Hurricane Katrina. How do you clean that and eat that so fast? And it was a habit. I just was fast because everybody else was eating and I wanted to get in the pile before I got eaten up. So I got faster than anybody else. So then now I get here and he says, hey, this is not food. This is not food. The memory is still there. Does it affect me anymore? It didn't for a long time. It hadn't bothered me. And then I went by Pastor Josh the other day. And I went in the bag back there and I was helping him open some oysters. And I'm like, this is for the customers. And I'm opening the oysters. It wasn't bothering me too much. And then I walked in there and he got that big scoop and them big old lobster looking crawfish. And he went, oh. I went, I got to get out of here. I had to walk away. I was like, man, I thought I would never let it affect me. And I was starting to let it affect me. And so you can't hide anything because it will come to the surface. It will come to the surface. And so I'm like, hey. But after that day, it didn't bother me anymore. It's just been a long time, and it just so happened I'd be in that spot. And I was like, the memory's there. But hey, I walked away. Do you think the Father's pleased with that? Because you obey his command. He said, I can shield you on that one. And there's other ones that I have a hard time with still. I'm working on them. I'm trying. There's how many? 613? I don't know the number. I just know that there's a lot. And I'm not going to complete all 613 this year. I'm going to try my best. But hey, look, I got a little bit by little bit I'm working on. But I'm telling you, when you work on it and you conquer it, you have this shalom in your heart. I'm telling you. You're confident because you know you protect it and you guard it. Blessed, the Hebrew word barak. Strong's H1288. It means to abundantly bless and literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down, to show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. Guard, keep in the Hebrew is shemar, Strong's H8104. Keep, watch, preserve, guard, and protect. Face is from the root word penimo, Strong's 6441. Face, faces, appearance, presence. It can also carry the understanding of the presence or wholeness of being. Shine, Strong's H215. Light and give light or shine, bring illumination. Favor, Chanan. Merciful, H2603. Merciful, favor, and also carries the meaning of providing protection. Give, Soon, H7760. To put to place, to set down in a fixed and arranged place. Peace, shalom, H7965, wholeness. That word is pretty vast. Wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, health, prosperity, well-being. There's a lot in shalom when we guard to do his commands, when we obey his Torah, and we get that shalom in our heart. You have wholeness in your heart, completeness in your heart, soundness in your heart, welfare, prosperity, well-being, safety, protection. And it's from the primitive root, shalom, which means 87999. I get in the habit, I read through these and I kind of glance at it, but I don't read it to myself. And so I get in the habit of just bypassing like 87999. So if I skip them sometimes, I'm sorry, but I'm supposed to read 87999, which means to be complete or sound, rewarded, make full restitution. Seven powerful words that are contained in this blessing and commanded by Yehovah that not only blesses us and puts His name upon us, but also wonderfully expresses His marvelous love and compassion for us and what He does for us through His blessing us as He, in a sense, has bowed down, come down, and given us the gift of life through His own, as He promises to guard and protect us and keep us safe in Him. And that's what His commands do. They keep us safe and they keep us in His presence. And He wants us to be in His presence. But remember, sin is like a stench to His nostrils. It's the smell of death. The closest I can relate when I read it is a rotten, stinking, decaying animal on the side of the road. Because it relates to death. That's what it leads to. It leads to death. There's no life there. It takes away the life. That's why we get sicknesses and illnesses, because when we disobey and we break His commands, those try to come against us because the Torah comes against us. But when we're obedient, it brings us life. And it starts healing us and curing us. That's what the Torah does. It blesses us and keeps us safe. And it's all of these. This blessing and the live understanding of the meaning of these seven words could be expressed in English as follows. Yehovah will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yehovah will illuminate the wholeness of His being towards you, bringing order, and He will beautify you. Yehovah will lift up His wholeness of being and look upon you, and He will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. The ancient pictograph script has the Hebrew word for blessed, which is Barak, Strong's H1288, which is Beit, Resh, and Kuf. Beit, the ancient pictograph, has this letter. The ancient script has this letter as a house, which pictures a tent floor plan and means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. Now, when you go over each and every one of these, you meditate on it. You close your eyes. You think of family, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Yehuda together in Yehovah's house. Think about that. That's what it means. And then you get to the next one, Resh. The ancient pictograph script has this letter pictured as a head, which is the head of a man, and carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, chief, as in being the top of the body or the head of a tribe and the one who rules. And every time I look at this now, we've said it and gone through it so many times, Yeshua is my head. We're His body and He's the head. And if we're connected to the head. And also speaks of possession or inheritance that is decided by the chief. Cool. The ancient pictograph script has this letter pictured as a hand, which is a picture of an open palm of a hand, and can symbolize that to which submission is given under the hand. So you almost want to picture in your mind, He's like this when you see Barak, bless. He wants to bless you. His hand is out. His right arm is Yeshua HaMashiach. It's bent out there for you to reach you and rescue you and help you and bless you and keep you. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And you know the rest of the song. That's how it goes. And it's word in a song. From the pictograph rendering of this word, we are able to clearly see who it is who blesses us. The house, assembly of Elohim, is blessed as the head chief comes down and extends His open and revealed hand to His own. Remember, Yeshua is in the image and likeness of His Father. Verse 23. Moshe and Aharon go into the tent of appointment, Aharon had lifted his hand and blessed the people, and then came down from making the offerings and proceeded to go with Moshe into the tent of appointment. This is a wonderful picture of the pure and powerful work of Messiah, who was lifted up for our sin, and who came down and humbled himself as a servant, bringing us the gift of life, and in turn was obedient, even unto death, and was exalted high above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow. So we reflect what he did. What he did for us, that's what we're going to do for others. It's not like bow down to the king, submit to him. It's not like that. He blessed us as people, and he expects us to do the same. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of Elohim, not Elohim, did not regard equality with Elohim a matter to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and came to be in the likeness of men. And having been found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, death even of a stake. Elohim therefore has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah is Master to the esteem of Elohim the Father. With Moshe and Aharon going into the tent and coming out is a picture of Messiah, the living Torah, and high priest ascending to the heavenly tabernacle, and we are guaranteed of his blessed soon return, and after his reign, once all have been raised from the dead, every knee shall bow before him, as the esteem of Elohim will be seen by all. Fire came out from before Yehovah and consumed the ascending offering and fat, and everyone saw and fell on their faces in great reverence and worship. The Hebrew word that is translated here as cried aloud, shouted, comes from the root word renan, which means H7442, which means to overcome, cry, shout for joy, give a ringing cry, sing aloud. When the temple was restored after exile, we see that Yisrael had a similar response as seen in Ezra 3:11. And they responded by praising and giving thanks to Yehovah, for he is good, for his kindness toward Yisrael is forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Yehovah, because the foundation of the house of Yehovah was laid. There was a state of ecstatic joy as Yehovah had come and shown himself again to the children of Yisrael. So Moshe and Aharon did what was right, and in return it helped the people. It blessed the people. So we got a responsibility. Yeshua did it for us. Now we got a responsibility. We got to do like Moshe and Aharon did. We got to do like Yeshua did, because the people is going to be blessed in return. The death of Nadab and Abihu. This didn't go right here. Leviticus 10. I'm kind of speeding up to get here. I really wanted to get here. Leviticus 10. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aharon, each took his fire holder and put fire in it, and put incense on it, and brought strange fire before Yehovah, which he had not commanded them. Which he had not commanded them. Keep that in mind. And fire came out from Yehovah and consumed them, and they died before Yehovah. Then Moshe said to Aharon, this is what Yehovah spoke, saying, by those who came near me, let me be set apart, and before all the people, let me be esteemed. And Aharon was silent. And Moshe called to Michelle. Is that how you say that? Michelle, and to Esaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aharon, and said to them, come near, take your brothers from before the set apart place out of the camp. So they came near and took them by their long shirts out of the camp, and as Moshe had said. As you read this, you see the seriousness. Aharon is not saying anything. This is a serious time. As you go through these slides and you're reading all this stuff, Yehovah is serious. This is a serious deal. It really makes you want to get yourself in order. It says, "And Moshe said to Aharon and Eleazar and to Ithamar, his sons, do not unbind your heads nor tear your garments, lest you die. And wrath come upon all the people. Don't you say a word. But let your brothers, all the house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yehovah has kindled. And do not go out from the door of the tent of appointment, lest you die. For anointing oil of Yehovah is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moshe. And Yehovah spoke to Aharon, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink." There's a little indicator right there. You see that? "Do not drink wine or strong drink. You nor your sons with you, when you go into the tent of appointment, lest you die. A law forever throughout your generations. So as to make a distinction between the set apart and the profane, between the unclean and the clean, and to teach the children of Israel all the laws which Yehovah has spoken to them by the hand of Moshe. And Moshe spoke to Aharon and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons who were left. Take the grain offering that is left over from the offerings made by fire to Yehovah, and eat it without leaven beside the slaughter place, for it is most set apart. And you shall eat it in a set apart place, because it is yours by law and your sons by law of the offerings made by fire to Yehovah, for so I have been commanded. And the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution, you eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you. For they are yours by law and your sons by law, which are given from the slaughterings of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The thigh of the contribution and the breast of the wave offering, they bring with the offerings of fat made by fire, to bring as a wave offering before Yehovah. And it shall be yours and your sons with you by a law forever, as Yehovah has commanded. And Moshe diligently looked for the goat of the sin offering, and saw it was burned up. And he was wroth with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aharon, who were left, saying, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in a set-apart place, since it is most set apart? And Elohim has given it to you to bear the crookedness of the congregation to make atonement for them before Yehovah." They had a big responsibility. If they didn't get it right, the people wasn't going to be able to get it right. "See, its blood was not brought inside the set-apart place. You should have eaten it without fail in a set-apart place, as I have commanded." And Aharon said to Moshe, "See, today they have brought their sin offering and their ascending offering before Yehovah, and matters like these have come to me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been right in the eyes of Yehovah?" And when Moshe heard that, it was good in his eyes. With all the joy and excitement and jubilation among Israel, one would have truly thought that they would have learned a great lesson and had now sought to heed all the instructions very carefully. Yet what we see at the start of this chapter is the exact opposite. This chapter carries critical lessons for us in our approach to Yehovah on how we are to be careful to draw near to Him, as He has instructed us, for anything beyond that could be fatal. If we have something in our life that we know is wrong, and we keep doing it, and we keep doing it, and we keep doing it, there's a possibility it could be fatal. And He's given us chance after chance after chance. And I've seen things in my life, and I'm working on them right now. I'm like, man, if you don't get this right, man, it could be fatal for you. It's a serious thing. That's what happened to them too. Not these two, but Abinadab and Abihu. This chapter carries critical lessons for us and our approach to Yehovah on how we are to be careful to draw near to Him as He has instructed to us. For anything beyond that could be fatal. Maybe it might be something that, you know, it ain't that big of a deal. Well, according to His word, it could be a big deal. Let us first look at Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aharon, who each brought their own fire before Yehovah. Nadab, Strong's H5070, is the name of one of these sons who brought strange fire after having gone through an entire consecration process, and the meaning of his name comes from the primitive root Nadab, H5068, which means to incite, impel, a free will offering. Given as free will offering makes offerings willingly. And so the son's name could be best described as meaning generous. So his name is generous. I don't know if I'm going to have time to keep going through these. I'm going to try, but I'm going to just make mention, as you go through these two sons' names, and they died, they meant a lot to Yehovah. And there's a lot of people that means a lot to him. And I don't think he was excited about what happened to them. It was very disappointing. It happens to people a lot. Don't listen. Don't listen. Don't listen. Don't listen. They have plenty of opportunity to get it right. Abihu, Strong's H3O, the name of the second son who joined Nadab in the offering, strange fire, simply means, he's my father. Two sons who sadly did not live up to the full potential of their given names and paid the price for stepping out of the clear instructions regarding the offering of fire upon the incense altar before Yehovah and brought a profane fire offering before Yehovah. When the blue flame came, and it should have went that away, they were in a spot where it shouldn't have been on them, and it went and got them too. And so we're in a spot and expecting the presence of Yehovah. Can you imagine churches right now that think they are right and they're okay and they're doing it in the name of? It's a scary thing. This is a serious thing. As we break down verse 1, we see why what they did was wrong. Firstly, we're told that they each took their own fire holder. What they did here was that they mixed the set apart with the profane or the common. And we talked about that in the last Torah portion. We talk about America and churches praying against abortion, but yet we bring in the very symbolism in our churches of where it began at, with these Easter eggs being dipped in a symbolism when it first began was with Ishtar and all the disgusting things of sacrificing their children and profane things I can't even say in the setting with children. It was disgusting and profane. But yet that's where it starts. It starts getting rid of it in the church. Paganism. Paganism is where it started. So how can we pray, oh church, against all the abortions? But that's where it started from. As we break down verse 1, we see why what they did was wrong. Firstly, we're told that they took their own fire holder. What they did here was that they mixed the set apart with the profane or common. They took their own fire holders and not the fire holder made for the purpose of the service in the set-apart place. They made their own, a very clear picture of how so many today tend to mimic the real and present their worship and obedience as real, when in fact it is an object of their own making and it's outside the very clear commands of Yehovah. It's all made up. It's nothing to do with what he said, and it's all mixed. Then they took that which was their own and put fire in it. The Hebrew word that is translated as put comes from the root word Nathan, which means to give, consecrate, bestow, contribute, add, dedicate, and is fine in its typical understanding of the word. However, what they did was simply provide their own fire. Do it their own way. As noble and sincere as that may have seemed to them, just as so many today who are caught in the same deceptive approach to worship, they were wrong, as the fire did not come from the fire which Yehovah had provided, but was of their own making. So many people today are trying to make their own fire, so to speak, in their attempted approach to worship, and this is not acceptable in the eyes of Yehovah. See that word? It's not acceptable. There's things that we do that's not acceptable to him. There's many people that do things in the name of God and clap their hands that he says, that's not acceptable. I won't accept it. We pray and we pray with certain motives And the scriptures clearly say that it's an abomination. There's many people that pray, and Pastor Josh even said it one time. He said, hey, if it's anything to do with that, please don't be praying in this prayer line, because I don't want a prayer that's an abomination before Yehovah. But by all means, if it's an obedience to the Torah, please, let's do it. So our prayers will be an acceptable, sweet aroma before the throne of Yehovah. And then our prayers will be answered and heard. It's crazy to think back. I was thinking about this today. How many times we said things in the name of Jesus on the wrong way mixed. And we prayed for somebody or did something, and something happened, and then we'd say, oh, you know, it must have been God's will. Oh, it must be another angel. Or we'd say things like, you know, it must have been God's will for that person. We just sugarcoat it over to make it look okay. It was okay. We did it in the name of God, and it was okay. It was okay. You know, we've done that. Churches do that. It's okay. It's okay. But he says right here, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. There's a certain way he prescribes for the priest to go before him. And as a perfect example in symbolism, because we don't sacrifice lambs, rams, and bulls anymore, Yeshua did that for us so we can correct the sin that's in our lives. They then took incense and put it with their fire, and therefore brought strange fire before Yehovah. This is a classic picture of that which is happening at large today, as so many will make a form of worship that is constructed out of their own selfish approach to worship and add that which is set apart and try to draw near to Elohim. If we approach Yehovah in any other manner than that by which he has commanded, then we must realize that it's simply strange and it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. What we must understand here is that Nadab and Abihu did what was not commanded, as they put incense in their fire holders. The incense was to be brought into the tent of appointment and burned on the slaughter place of incense, not put on the fire holder censer. It was possibly due to this incident that we see the clear instructions being given after these events had occurred, as commanded in Leviticus 16:12-13. And shall take a fire holder filled with burning coals of fire from the slaughter place before Yehovah, with his hands filled with sweet incense, beaten fine, and shall bring it inside the veil, and he shall put the incense on the fire before Yehovah, and the cloud of incense shall cover the lid of atonement, which is on the witness, lest he die. Now, while some may argue that if they had not yet been instructed in this regard, then it seems a little harsh to have been consumed. However, the fact that they may have not been taught by either Moshe or Haran further emphasizes the importance of not doing that which you may think is right, yet have not been instructed in that regard. For to act without instruction makes it very clear an unauthorized fire. You think we ought to go back and make sure everything's right? We need to go back and recheck things. And even now, we're looking at days. We've moved our days for Passover and different things coming ahead because it didn't line up. We just keep studying. We keep learning. We keep looking at it. We want to make sure. We want to make sure. We don't want to bring strange fire. We want to make sure. We got a lot of lives that we're responsible for. I'm responsible for my wife and my children. I'm responsible. I have family right now that's coming in. They're starting to serve Yehovah, the Torah. Their eyes are opening up. And shame on us if we end up serving something that's not to be served and end up not only getting ourselves in trouble, but get them in trouble. Remember, he says to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in our life of praise unto Yehovah, we must be very careful not to bring a worship that is strange. The Hebrew word that is translated as strange here comes from the root word zarah, H2214, and is best described as a loathsome thing, and is often translated as unauthorized or profane, zarah. I listen to a lot of different Messianic Jewish songs, and they have that word in there a lot, Zerah. Zerah. So it kind of reflects when I see that. The word Zerah, Strong's H2214, comes from the root word Zor, which means strange, stranger, adulterer, adulteress, and enemy. What they brought was an adulterous fire, which is a mixed fire. As their attempted means of drawing near to the presence of Yehovah, in looking at these events, we are quickly reminded just how there is but a fine line between the praise that we are to bring in obedience versus doing our own thing and present a profane form of worship. What does it mean to profane? The word profane means to treat something set apart with abuse, irreverence, or contempt. The Hebrew word that is translated as profane comes from the root word. This is cool getting into this. I get excited on this part. Halal, Strong's H2490. Halal, sound as, means to bore or pierce through or kill or wound or defile. What is very interesting to me is that a root word for praise in Hebrew is halal, Strong's H1984, with a soft sound as in ha, and in essence carries the meaning to shine, be boastful, give praise. Anybody catching on to this yet? These two words differ with a slight difference of the stroke of a pen by means of a little tiny gap. In the Hebrew word for praise, the letter hey is used. In the Hebrew word for profane, the letter chet is used. At a glance, these may be similar looking letters, and hence the words, even at a glance, may seem to be the same, while they are the total opposite of each other, and the difference in the written form is but a tiny little gap on the top left corner of the first letter. This may sound a little... I don't remember reading that word. Pedantic. To some of you, but for me, it makes me realize just how fine of a line it is between pure worship and profanity. Let me tell you why I find this very interesting. In considering the closeness of these written words, we see in the world today that there are many who claim to be born-again believers of the Almighty. Yet, in their worship, they are offering profane worship, and they cannot distinguish between the set apart and the profane. Hey and het. See that? The church of today is clearly profaning the name of Yehovah, and have not only brought his name to naught, because we talked about that in the commands. I had never seen that before, until it was brought to my attention in the whole chapter. We backed up from, I shall have no other gods before me, to, you should not bring my name to naught. I'm like, my word. This whole time we're reading a title. And he said, don't bring my name to naught. And somebody brought his name to naught. And I'm reading his name to naught. We need to learn who his name is. Yod, hey, vav, hey. And put the vowels in and do our research. We need to do our research. Don't take my word for it. Go find out and look for yourself. The church of today is clearly profaning the name of Yehovah, and not only brought his name to naught, but have profaned it by treating it with abuse, irreverence, and contempt. In order to seem generous, which is what Nadab means, Christians have allowed rituals from other pagan sources to continue and have tried to fit them into the categories that Yehovah has prescribed. If we try to keep the Sabbath on a different day than what he has prescribed, he will not accept it, period. Just keep that in mind. So we're out there on a Shabbat having fun, thinking we're okay. Maybe it's not, because I'm reading it right here. It's not acceptable. Profane worship is happening as we speak in the world today. And so I'm on the boat a lot. And like I talked about Shabbat, you start working something in your life, and you conquer whatever thing that you've been breaking, and you have peace and shalom about it. I'm sure anybody in here has been on a journey doing something, especially the ladies. When they get together, whoo, they get to talking about whatever fun they had yesterday or whatever vacation they had. And you can truly talk about it because you experienced it. You can have that fun and talk about it. When you experience in obedience to His Torah, I'm on the boat with somebody and somebody makes mention, I ask, why are you this or that? I can easily say it because I'm doing it. It's easy. I love it. I enjoy it. It's my shalom and it's an obedience. But if I'm not and somebody brings it up, hey, do you remember Kepha? You remember Peter? You remember that? Hey, aren't you one of those? I know you. No, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. Let's just change the subject. I'm not one of them. Remember that? But there was a time that he got to that spot and he fixed it. He got it. And so if any one of us, any one of you, me, we don't have to look at each other and pinpoint it out. We stay in our cup and we keep praying for one another and we're going to get it. We're going to get it. It's okay. We make mistakes. We break them. We got Yeshua, but we got to quit doing it at some point because it could be fatal. We wake up in the morning, brand new day. Hey, we slept during the night. We had no control over anything that was going on in the yard outside. We talked about this many a times. We sometimes take it for granted that, oh, we woke up this morning. Yeah, I'm good. Well, I ought to give thanks that I woke up this morning because He gave me breath to breathe. I got good health. We beat COVID. We was all sick with COVID, bunches of us. Some of us didn't. Some of us had it mild. But some of us felt like we was really going to literally die. And we pray, pray for me, brother. Pray for me, sister. Pray for this. Pray for that. And Jehovah intervened. And we're here today. I think the least we could do is obey His commands. The least. Just think of all the Babylonian feast of sun worship that is being followed, as we know that Christmas is actually rooted in child sacrifice, fertility rituals, as well as Easter, where infants were offered up on the altar of Tammuz and Semiramis, child sacrifice through murder and idolatry, and fire offerings unto Moloch, are still being rehearsed, as it were today, in the form of profane worship unto the Almighty. These profanities and defilements are what caused Jehovah to scatter His people, yet for the sake of His name and His compassion for His name, He promises to take, gather, and bring His people back to the set-apart land. And when I read that in the prophets, I didn't really let it sink in that it was Israel. The one we love, Israel. I'm like, Israel. They went before, and they did that to their children. And now here we are, long, long, long time later in symbolism, doing the symbolism in the church what they did then. How are we supposed to get back to our brother Yehuda if we're doing that which we're trying to get away from? So it's like everything starts sinking in. This puzzle piece, that puzzle piece, this puzzle piece, all from the beginning, and it all ties in together and it doesn't contradict itself. The incense of Nadab and Abihu used may have even been correct, as it does not say that the incense was wrong or that it stank. It was the source of the fire that was wrong. Incense ascends from the earth to the heavens, so it clearly represents for us the picture of prayer, but the fire represents the motive that carries it upward. I think about the motive. What is our motive behind it? What is our motive behind it? We're going out doing everything. Remember, we talked about our talents. We got talents that have been buried that we hadn't uncovered in a while. And we see that talent. We need to get that talent. We need to work on it with all my might and everything that was in me corrected to do this what is right. People are involved in my life. I have a big responsibility of people in my life. I had to be prepared for Wednesday night. And so I had to make sure. I prayed, Father, make sure. I want to make sure. I don't want to go up there and give a false word. And if there's anything I spoke of false tonight, I ask for forgiveness of the Father and that it will fall to the ground and die. I don't want nobody to get in trouble for my stupidity. But it's a serious responsibility. Even if everything was done just the way He said, what we must note and realize is that if the motive is wrong, it is strange fire. what's the motive? And it has to be in a motive that will read upon what Yehovah's motive is, what he's like. Remember? His likes and his dislikes. It's his character. It's who he is. As we become like those priests and get on bended knee and put everything in order and do the sacrifice, it gets rid, it cleanses us like a mikvah. It gets rid of the sin, and so his presence can come, and it's a sweet smelling aroma, and he sees himself a reflection of his selfless love of who he is. Not the selfish, ugly, sinful natured person that we was born to be and now we need to get rid of. Rather, for the power and self-will are just being caught up in the emotion of the movement. Either these motives are a foreign motivation for people whose calling is to serve the people of Yisrael and Yehovah. I've been able to share with a lot of people that use that broad term Christianity, because a lot of people use Christianity. And we talk about it, it's a good little pointer when we're talking about, you know, when you get born again, you actually get grafted into being a Hebrew or an Israelite. So you got to find out what a Hebrew and an Israelite is. We're given a New Testament. We're given a couple of scriptures to be born again, and that's all we knew. We was missing some pieces. It may have been like the set-apart spirit, but since Moshe had not commanded them to do this, it was a different spirit. It does not matter how great your idea is, or even if everyone around you agrees, it must line up with Yehovah's instruction. If it does not, then it will more than likely turn out to be strange and profane. There's a very fine line between true praise and that which profanes. As you remember from last week's Torah portion, that we are to keep the fire burning and not construct our own fire, so to speak. So many today may indeed be extremely sincere in their presentation of worship and the fire which they present it with, yet when it does not adhere to or line up with the clear Torah, the plumb line of the Torah, and instructions of Elohim, then is nothing more than a strange fire, which is, there's that word again. You're going to see it in there a couple of times. Unacceptable. No matter how much we want to sugarcoat it and make it look so pretty, they, this, that, whatever, it's unacceptable before the face of our Master and Elohim. Remember how those words would be? Yeshua would say, I don't know you. I don't know you. In order to help visualize the difference between the two root words for praise and profane, I have put these two words side by side in the following chart. Hey, Hallel, praise. Hey, Lamed, and Lamed. And profane, Hallel, Hallel. Chet, Lamed, and Lamed. That's a good little picture. See it? And you see the small gap on the bottom left in Hey, and no gap in Chet. So that's the difference between the two, Hallel and Hallel. Verse 2, consumed by fire. What is interesting to see clearly is that in the previous chapter, when the instructions were carried out correctly and in total obedience, and the sending offerings were acceptable to Yehovah, we see in 9:24 that fire came out from before Yehovah and consumed the ascending offering and the fat on the slaughter place, after which all the people fell in reverence before his presence of the consuming fire. And now here, two verses later, fire once again comes from Yehovah, but this time it was not to consume the acceptable offering, but was to destroy and consume the false and profane worship. The very same fire of Yehovah accepts that which is right and destroys that which is wrong. And that's what the Torah does. That's what it is. It's either destroying or accepting. Thus we must realize, and therefore we must know, that he is a consuming fire. You know, I was telling somebody today, I said the Torah is kind of reminds me of a positive and a negative on a battery. You take that wrench and put it on both of them on accident, you're going to get a pow. And you try and hold them together. We've had where if you don't put a fuse, remember when I used to commercial fish, we used to just rig stuff up any kind of way just to get done with the fishing trip. We wouldn't take care of anything. And I remember one time bypassing that fuse and disconnecting it. And during the course of time, that wire got frayed and got a hold of that ground wire, and that positive went together, and I smelled smoke. Well, I ran down the galley. Boy, it was burning it up, going all the way to that battery. It was cruising. You had to hurry up and cut that wire off. It won't stop burning, just fire. Positive and negative just cannot go together. It just keep burning and sparking. And just like the Torah with sin, it just doesn't accept it. It's going to keep burning it up. And Yeshua is our mediator between us and Yehovah. And he's the pure Torah. He is the Word. And Yeshua is the living Torah in its purest form. And that's who we'd be like, in his image and his likeness. But I'm going to stop right here because we're running out of time. We only got a minute left. I tried to cover as much as I could. It's a lot. But you go home and you do your part. Aharon, Moshe, Yeshua, they did their part. They're giving us great example what to follow for the people. And they, hallelujah. And that's what we got to do. Same thing. Love y'all. Be Barak. Blessed. In the name of Yehovah. In Yeshua.